Thank you.
So Lisa, thank you for that. Before I start talking about the three options, I've gotten some calls over the last month or 6 weeks from various board members asking about fiduciary responsibility. Apparently there has been at least that topic brought up. So before I start talking about the options, I want to cover what Board Source, which is a commercial venue, but it exists for the purpose of providing guidance to nonprofit boards. And when they talk about board governance in a nonprofit and board fiduciary responsibility, they say that requires board members to make decisions that are objective, to stay objective, to unselfishly make decisions. That means they're responsible, honest, forthright, trustworthy. I'm reading these words directly from their explanation, and the last descriptor being efficient. They go on to say that board members must act for the good of the organization, not in their own personal interest, not for the benefit of themselves, but that they are always exercising reasonable care to make decisions that are in the best interest of the organization and not putting the organization at unnecessary risk. So when we think about the fiduciary responsibility of board members in a nonprofit, the focus seems to be that decisions are not made for the benefit of the individual board member, but that they are made in the long-term best interest of the organization. So having said that, Lisa, you are 100% correct. There are three options that can be considered. The first one is that we craft an employment agreement that continues employment over a period of time so that the recipient, in this case, Valerie, would receive a W-2. We would have that employment agreement crafted as soon as possible so that it would take place immediately, but with various terms over a period of time. Perhaps if her retirement is set for December 2022, there would be an agreement that would go into effect on January 1, 2022, that would basically keep things as they are, remain unchanged, but then with an effective date of January 1, 2023, there would be different terms, meaning her active employment would end on December 31st, but her employment would not end until a future predetermined date, possibly 3 years. We can do that with a W-2, and I can talk about all the pros and cons of all of these if you guys want to get into that, you know, that deep in the weeds. But that's one option, is an employment agreement that provides for her continued pay after active employment is over. There's nothing different about doing that than hiring her or anyone else as an advisor to the board, an advisor to the incoming CEO, or to be an ambassador for the organization. The reason that some of the pros for doing it this way is it provides a golden handcuff for your Valerie to continue to foster relationships with donors. There is an incentive to make sure that BASIC continues to be successful. And whether or not that is done through fostering new donor relationships, but it's also a great way to enact a handoff between the outgoing CEO and the new one over a period of time, so that there's a level of trust that's built up with your donors, with those folks who are providing revenue into BASIC. That's one option. Option number two is we can do the exact same thing, but with a contractor agreement. And then instead of a W-2, there would be a 1099 paid to Valerie. The pros are pretty much all the ones that I've just stated. There is less of a sense of loyalty or a golden handcuff, if you will, with a 1099 arrangement, because effective with the active employment, then there's no sense of loyalty. She's not an employee anymore. So it has a different feel. The third option is a separation agreement where there are very specific terms. And by the way, if there's a separation agreement under the tax rules, under the IRS rules, those payments have to be W-2s anyway. So we can do a separation agreement, and that can be paid out in a lump sum, or it can be paid out over a period of time. But because it has to be W-2 anyway, it kind of brings us back to option number one. If it's going to come through as a W-2, then why not just do option one? I'll tell you that separation agreements, just by their very nature, have a little bit of a negative connotation, because they're generally used with employees who are exiting in an effort to avoid a lawsuit from the exiting employee. We're not in that position, but we can certainly use a separation agreement. It's just not typically done in this kind of environment. So at the board's authority, I have had some conversations with Valerie over the last, I'll say, month or so, regarding what might be in her best interest. And I believe in order for us to move forward, we need to determine what is the goal of the board, based on the conversations that I have had with some of you independently and some of you collectively. It came to me that what you're trying to achieve is loyalty and goodwill, ambassadorship, and a very smooth handoff with the new CEO. And if I have misunderstood that, then I would be absolutely happy to, to be corrected on that. But based on my conversations, I believe that is what is being attempted here through this package that is on the tape. So those are the three options. I really feel like we actually have two, because one of them really takes us back to the first one. Make sense?
Yeah. Joyce, you and I had a conversation that was off the last board meeting, and I asked you to be here because can you what I had asked before was what you're laying out now be put on paper so we can review before the board meets. When you and Lisa had your initial conversation between the October meeting and the November meeting about this exit package and whether or not we can do it, we cannot do it, how do we do it? And also one of the things I assume you talked about when she called you about it was, can you assist in the replacement of Valerie? Why isn't that not been put on paper, these options, so we could have reviewed it before now?
Short answer, I found out about this last night. I got a text from Lisa last night.
And I guess I was under the impression that after our last conversation, I had given you the instruction for a draft of a reasonable exit agreement. And when I texted you last night, I was kind of thinking, oh, she's got this. This is not going to be a problem. And I was surprised when you said that. Although after I reflected on it, that made sense, that it doesn't make any sense for you to write out three exit agreements when we haven't really made a decision on that.
So no discussion had been made between the two of you, between the October meeting and the November meeting, about this subject matter, correct?
We had a telephone
Lisa
conversation.
Lisa and I met at the basic offices in October, but the topic was about Project Hope.
You see.
Not about the exit package.
Okay. What are the pros and cons of these three proposals that you just presented for on each side? I'm looking at seems like one and two is the one that's off the top of my head is the one the way to go. But what are the pros and cons? There's always pros and cons.
Okay, under number one, under the employment agreement, the W-2 situation, Valerie remains an employee. She's a full-time active employee through her retirement date of 12/31/22, effective 1/1/2023. Her title would change and she would become the president emeritus. Okay. Her duties would change. She would not get up and come to work every day. She would be available to the board. She would be available to the CEO. She would continue to foster relationships with donors and do what I would call a smooth, amicable handoff, so no donors get concerned that we have different leadership. So that during that period of time, we're continuing to foster goodwill. Valerie continues to be an ambassador for BASIC, and she is demonstrating to the community, to the United Way and to PanCare and whoever else gives us money, that new leadership has her full support and is trustworthy. We garner that through an employment agreement because she continues to be an employee. Mm-hmm. These employment agreements, when they're crafted post-retirement like this, they're very much written like a coach's employment agreement. You may hear about coaches leaving college and one college and going to another, and the college has to buy out their contract. So it would be a situation like that. The employment contract would have a beginning date and an ending date. So if BASIC decided they want to end her employment prior to the ending date of the employment agreement, there would be a buyout clause. Otherwise, she would remain on the payroll through a predetermined date. Okay. Now, those are the pros. There's really... If you decide on a dollar amount, there's no con to that because from a fiscal perspective, because they both cost the same amount of money. If we're doing this and want to do it in a way that it is the most beneficial to Valerie, then the W-2 methodology is more beneficial to her because she remains on the payroll and she can as a full-time employee because she's exempt. she can be classified as full time because there's no requirement to keep timesheets. And in that regard, she can remain eligible for the benefits that are relevant to her, which would most likely be the health insurance, for a predetermined period of time, perhaps until eligibility for Medicare. So there's some pros to her, as and there's no difference in the fiscal responsibility to the organization. The contract agreement, or the 1099, is a contract under Florida's contract laws. That means one party or the other could petition the court to end the contract sooner than it was written to be ended. Now, you can write a termination clause into a 1099 contract or arrangement as well, but it doesn't inure the same sentiment as an employment continuation does. So if there is, they're very closely aligned. There's not a whole lot of difference. There's a big difference, though, to Valerie, because if she stops not just being an active employee, but stops being an employee on 12/31/2022, then her eligibility for benefits to bridge between where she is on that date, 12/31/22, and her eligibility for Medicare goes away. So it costs the organization not any more money. I mean, it costs the organization the value of the benefits, but that could be written into an uplift. Whereas the contract methodology, the 1099, that's not an option. It's just not even on the table. Those are basically the differences. Separation agreement, again, no change in dollar value. They're just viewed a little more negatively by anyone and everyone who knows about it, because it looks like it's a settlement. That's how they're written. But from a taxation perspective, you can go either way. They're both legal, all three. You can, from a contract or an employment agreement, all perfectly legal, no issues there. Do we have any concerns with a fiduciary responsibility? I'll tell y'all, one of the things that my mother always said to me is you need to not only avoid evil, you need to avoid the appearance of evil. And so if we're looking at these three things under that microscope of avoiding the appearance of evil, then I would say the separation agreement is the one that I would avoid, just simply because there's been such a spotlight shined on exit agreements with what happened with the Florida Coalition Against Domestic Violence. You know, even though it's unrestricted funds, it still can leave it looks like it was a settlement agreement as opposed to a separation agreement. So although it's legal, it's not as palatable. Let me put it that way.
Okay. One of the other things.
Does that help?
Yeah, that. One of the other things that we had hoped that Lisa talked to you about was you providing a service for a replacement. Valerie leaves 12/31/22 at midnight is the last day. And then January 1 of the following year, she becomes an ambassador. My question is two. One, when she becomes an ambassador, she's being compensated off the exit dollars? And two, what is a practical, realistic time to find a replacement? Because from January of 2022 to December 2022, we got to find someone to let them operate under Valerie, because Valerie is going to go become totally different role. She's an ambassador. You know, she can get up in the morning, take a telephone call, video, and she's still be in a pajama.
That's right.
So how long does it take to find someone? And is it true that she'll be getting compensated by way of still receiving benefits, and a compensation will be out of the X amount of dollars?
That's right. So let's talk about our expectations for a president emeritus. She would receive a regular paycheck, just like everybody else gets a paycheck. The difference would be she would be available to the board and available to the CEO. She would also work with the CEO to make introductions, to accompany the CEO, to visit donors, even prospective donors. She has become the face of BASIC. She would work to transition that over to the new CEO. I'll tell you, we fostered agreements like this in other nonprofits with an exiting CEO. I've worked with one in St. Augustine recently to do this very thing. And they have crafted an agreement with her that we can certainly modify. But what they have requested of her is that she continue to make appearances at their major fundraising event, that she continue to be an ally, an ambassador, if you will, an advocate for the organization. One of the things they've asked her to do is to be available to meet with new potential donors, because she had 20 plus years experience with the organization. If someone was thinking about making a significant contribution, she would be the one who would go and talk to them about what the organization had historically done and why their money coming in would be a good idea. So those are some of the kind of things that a president emeritus does, okay? And in exchange for that, she gets a paycheck. Just like if she got up and went to work every day, she's just not going to get up and go to work every day. And that's, I think, answers question number one. She's going to be available to you as a board member. She's going to be available to the new CEO. And she's going to go out of her way to make sure that the funds that we're currently getting don't diminish, and if possible, can help to raise more. The rest of your question regarding recruitment, we do recruit for a lot of organizations only at the CEO or the CFO or COO level. We're not recruiters, but we do know people like this that may be looking to make a change. So we often do provide that service. How long does it take? I would certainly not budget less than 6 months. And with a volunteer board, it takes every bit of that time, because while we will certainly narrow the search down to the top three or top four candidates, getting the board together on a volunteer basis to review resumes and to make a selection, interview the candidates, maybe take them to dinner, show them around Panama City if they're not local. All of those things take time. It really does. And I will tell you something else. In this current recruiting market that we're in right now, you guys cannot afford to dilly-dally. Once you know you've got a candidate that you like, you got to be prepared to make an offer, or somebody else is going to make an offer and you're going to lose that candidate. That's happening every single day in nonprofit settings where there's a nonprofit volunteer board. And you guys have real jobs. But it's tough. That very client that I was talking about in St. Augustine, they had to go with their number two choice, because by the time they made an offer, number one had already accepted an offer somewhere else. So that's real. That's happening.
I can add to that a little bit. It wasn't that long ago that we acquired a company, and I tried to move all 20 employees to Panama City, brought them down, took them to the beach, boats, whole nine yards, and did not recruit not one of the 20. They all denied. And the odd reason was, when I went back, was that they all had spouses that had degrees, and Panama City is a tourist industry place. There was nowhere for any of them to work. So they all turned down
trailing spouses. Yeah.
They all turned down six figure offers because Panama City was not a place for their family. I would say that would add to it. I was shocked. We thought we had them in the bag, and we got turned down by all 20. In fact, Ryan Naylor was the only one that finally said, what the hell, let me go over there. But he was single. So just something to think about, which you know, a lot of people say, hey, we got the beaches, but we don't have a job for your educated spouse. It's a tough sell.
That's true. So hypothetically, let's say 6 months, July 1 of next year, the new person comes in. Valerie's still on full staff. That person works under Valerie, and then come January 1, that new person is in full control with Valerie as the ambassador. Am I understanding that correctly? That's a possibility.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because I don't see this person coming in. It doesn't matter to me how much experience they have. It just seems like you can't just throw them in there without the existing person being in place. And they're working side by side every day and before they take over. Because there's got to be a feel of the culture that has to be explained. And we got to be prepared. Suppose that person don't work out that first year. What do we do then? I don't know. But, 6 months.
Then you got to account for internal attrition due to changes like that.
Correct. Correct.
You have to realize that the reason we're looking outside is because nobody inside wants the job.
Okay.
Well, I will excuse myself from the call, and unless you guys have more questions from me, and I'll let the board deliberate on which of those options they may want. And then following the board decision, if somebody will let me know, I will create a draft agreement, and then I can send it to Lisa, and she can disseminate it to the rest of the board for review. Once you make a decision, it won't take me very long to prepare a draft agreement. I just need to know what direction you guys want to go in. Any more questions before I leave and let y'all do your thing?
You wouldn't have to already have what you propose on paper, you can send it to us. So we make sure we know there was a lot given to us, and being on paper gives me a chance to look it over again and say, okay, this is the one.
I will put it on paper, but I do not have anything that I can send to you while this meeting is going on.
Okay, that's
but I can get something. I can get, once you let me know which way you want to go, I can give you a draft agreement within 24 hours.
Okay.
I have a question.
It's going to be sent to the whole board.
I can do that.
Okay.
I have a question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
The biggest discussion we've had was over the amount that we want to include in a package. Is there any negative tax-wise or law-wise that we have to work within a certain number?
No. As long as what we're talking about is unrestricted funds. And Lisa and I spent a considerable amount of time at the basic offices in October and did some research on the money that's coming in from PanCare, and those funds are unrestricted. And that's averaging somewhere around $360,000 a year that's coming in from PanCare. So there is sufficient unrestricted funds. And there's a long history that goes back to 2013. Now, the first year there wasn't near that much, but there have been years that number's been over 400,000 in since 2014. So there's a 7-year history. There's no reason to expect that's going to change. So based on everything we know now, there is sufficient money coming in that is unrestricted to pay $300,000. Let's just say we do that over a period of 3 years, that we do an employment agreement that begins, that changes the term on 1/1/2023 and continues through 2024 and 2025. And so that $300,000 is divided into 100,000 per year. Well, that's still less than 1/3 of the unrestricted funds that are coming in from Project Hope through PanCare every year, if you look back at the historical annual amount. So there's nothing about this obligation or creating this obligation that gives me pause, or will there be money in order to do it? I don't have a crystal ball, and I guess things could change with PanCare, but there's no reason to expect that they will based on everything we know right now.
Thanks.
Was that some particular reason why you were just looking at Project Hope and the PanCare fund in this discussion, and you weren't talking about the exit?
It was brought up by Lisa because of what she had seen on the 990, the income that was being paid to Valerie included the extra money from PanCare, and I think Lisa was unaware of that extra money, and so we did a little bit of research on that day and determined that it goes back that far. Then I got with the finance people and asked them to share with me how much money has PanCare paid to us over the same amount of time that extra money, the Project Hope money, had been paid to Valerie and to Sharon. So that's how come that number is fresh in my mind, is because I asked for the information. And then I found out that those were unrestricted funds.
Okay.
So that's how it all came to be. That was the evolution of that discussion.
I have a question for you. The board voted to have Nancy to discuss with you what the board decided. And I'm under the impression that Nancy, when she was with us, did discuss the decision that the board decided with you. Based on exit package for Valerie, could you please share with the board what Nancy shared with you, what we decided on as a board?
The dollar amount, you mean?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you asking about the she told me it was $300,000. She told me that when we
and
met.
I also brought up then that I did not agree to $300,000.
And I'm talking right now. I'm talking, and you'll get the opportunity to talk in a few minutes. But we brought Joyce on so we can all have an opportunity to ask Joyce questions. The board voted, and that's my question, Joyce. We voted. We gave Nancy the authorization. Go let Joyce know what we voted on so Joyce can talk to Valerie about what the board. And the first question I wanted to know, the dollar amount that Nancy revealed to you, and did you, Joyce, tell Valerie that same information that Nancy told you could share with Valerie?
So the first conversation that I had with Nancy was face-to-face at the basic office. And during that meeting, We talked in general terms about how to craft an agreement to pay out Valerie. She intimated to me during that meeting that the amount was $300,000. After that meeting, either that evening or the next morning, I don't remember which now, she sent me an email. And in that email, she says that the board had agreed to $300,000. The same day, and that email said a whole lot more. It was full of, can we do this? Can we do that? It was a lot of questions from Nancy. That same day, she sent me another email, and she starts it out by saying, did I say that I'm bad with numbers? I just want to make sure that you understand that the dollar amount that the board has agreed to pay to Valerie is $300,000. So I have three occasions where Nancy gave me that number.
Now, my other question.
I think your last question was, did I?
Go ahead.
Did I talk to Valerie about that number?
Yes, ma'am.
I have had a conversation with Valerie about that email from Nancy, and shared with her that number was given to me by Nancy in that email. I didn't forward the email to Valerie, but I did read it to her.
Well, let me ask you a question. And because the board have had a lot of discussions and we've been going back and forth, because based on my knowledge, because I was the one that also voted towards that, and I will raise my hand to say that was my understanding as well. And so you received that from the person that we nominated to talk to you. Now, since Valerie have that information available to her, if the board reneged on what was presented to her, what is our liability?
I would say it's probably about good faith more than about a legal obligation, because I have information in writing, but I don't think there was a promise from the board to Valerie. That becomes a point of maybe mitigation. But not probably not. Do we have a legal obligation? I would say you have a moral obligation, maybe not a legal obligation, because we didn't provide to her anything in writing that said we promised to pay $300,000 on this date and then say, oops, never mind. I think that based on my conversations with various members of the board, there is clear confusion about exactly what the motion was and what people were voting on. I read the minutes. They were sent to me and I was asked to read them and interpret them. I read the minutes. I don't think there was any question. There's two things that come to mind. Number one, there's a sentence in there that the motion was that the board was going to approve an exit package that was in alignment with Valerie's expectations. A couple of sentences before, the minutes say that Valerie's expectation is $300,000. So you've got a pretty close connection between that number and the sentence that follows it. That's number one. The other thing is the board had an opportunity to review those minutes prior to there being approval, and there was no question at that point. Nobody said, wait a minute, this isn't clear. So I would say, you know, if you guys don't understand what the minutes say, then don't approve them until you get clarity. Don't try to come back and revisit after the fact, because now, you end up where we are today.
Well, let me ask you a question, Joyce. Because, and I'm glad you said that, because we did exactly what you just said. We had a meeting 1 month where what you just stated was put into the minutes. The very next month, we approve the minutes because it's always asked about approval of the minutes from last month. Once the minutes are approval, what is our obligation? Because then we come back and says, I want to withdraw my amendment or whatever the proper term is. I want to withdraw my motion. I should say that. But we already approved the minutes. So my concern is you had, just like you said, ample time to question the minutes, to say, let's make an amendment to the minutes, because this section of the minutes, is not clear. So we need clarity here. But we did not do that. We approved the minutes from the last minute. Then we come back to say that I want to withdraw my motion from the last meeting that we had. And to me, I don't think that's appropriate. And you, the legal person.
Well, I don't think that those minutes were recorded word for word. That's why there's confusion, because Nancy did not record it exact word for word.
Joyce, I asked you a question. Could you please answer the question for me, please?
Under Robert's Rules of Order, once minutes are approved, they are an official record of what took place at the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you. Chris, you got the floor. You can go ahead now.
I just don't think that what Nancy wrote was word for word of what we voted on, that it was more ambiguous with what we voted on, because I did not vote on approving 300,000. I thought we were approving to move forward and get more information. But at that point, we didn't have enough information to agree on an amount, because that was the first we were talking about it. And we had no time to do any due diligence, find out what is standard in the industry and whether, you know, that's in line with that. And that's the way we've always operated. We've done our due diligence and we've done research to make a decision. And that was the first meeting that it was brought up in that number. So I know that I would not approve a specific amount.
Two things, Rick, Chris, is that you had the right to say, hey, I want to do an amendment, a clarification from the minutes. You had that opportunity to do that. You did not do that.
As soon as we accepted the minutes, I saw what had happened, and I sent off emails to Nancy and to Lisa.
Okay. Can we wrap up with Joyce, and then this other, what we're talking about right now, hash it out, unless some got specific questions for Joyce. I don't want to hold her up.
We don't have to hold her up.
Well, she's the legal person, guys. And so if we have legal questions, I think we have the legal person on the call. So I understand that we want to move forward, but the person that represents the board is on the call, so we can move forward. But I think Joyce did her due diligence in answering the questions, but it would have been a remiss on our part to let her get off the call without asking those specific questions.
Well, I agree with, but when we're going back and forth between each other about what I did do, I didn't understand that. That doesn't have anything. That's something we need to hash out without her, because her time is valuable. That's all I'm saying. You got a specific question of a legal matter, you're right. Let's ask the question. And so we won't turn.
Well, the question is, because you represent the board. The board is divided. So, Joyce, if you had to represent the board and the board, I know I'm going one-sided because I know what I voted on. Chris is on one side. So how you as a legal person, Joyce, resolve a dispute between the board, since you represent the board? And I think that's where I'm getting to, because Joyce is the representation of the board, but now you got a divided board.
I think you can counsel us on what we can do and can't do.
Anytime there can be a decision made by the board, there can be a decision that's actually acted on by the board, and then new information surfaces, new situations occur. I mean, think about it in the terms of approving policies or approving procedures. Things change. And so there can always be a new discussion, a new motion brought forward. I would say that I think where the angst is here is it that there is a belief on, and based on some of the phone calls I've had, there's a belief on the part of some of the board members that they've already put this to rest because it's already been a motion and it's already been voted on. And the only thing that was an open switch was how do we pay it, not the amount. And I was not at that meeting, but from reading the board meeting minutes and from the emails that I received from the secretary who was designated to speak with me about crafting the agreement, my opinion is that decision was made at that meeting and it was $300,000. Now, I understand that there are some of you that don't believe that that's how it went down. I wasn't there. I'm telling you from the documents that exist, that decision was made. Not from what you recall, not from what you think you said, but your minutes are pretty clear to someone who wasn't there. The way they're written, the amount is $300,000, and the assignment to Nancy was to figure out how to do it, not the amount. I think
my misunderstanding was that there were no terms. So the way I look at it is, what's in the best interest for BASIC, right? What's the transition plan? How long does that take place? So as you call it, which I never heard of, a golden handcuff, so I had to look that one up. That's what I was looking for. What are the terms to ensure that BASIC stays as a viable organization? I see him nodding his head.
You see everything everybody else is doing. Put your camera on. Let me see you. You always hide behind your camera so you can see me, and I am nodding my head. So thank you. So now go ahead and finish your discussion.
I'm going to turn it off in a minute just to irritate you because I don't really see any need for that kind of mess.
No, but you're always telling what other people's expressions is, but you never show your expression.
Showing it now.
Okay. And I'm listening. Go ahead and finish your conversation. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Go ahead with what?
You was making a statement. Go ahead. Finish your discussion.
Yeah, you didn't need to see expressions. I made the statement.
Joyce, I don't have any other questions. I think the board probably need to have a dialogue between themselves. I'm not the chairperson. Lisa's the chairperson, but I think Rick finished his conversation as he said it. So I'll turn back over to Lisa at this time.
I don't know that we have anything else to bug Joyce about tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, folks. Well, listen, it's my pleasure to work with you. Happy to provide the agreement after you guys reach a decision. Just let me know. Y'all have a great evening.
Okay, so where are we now?
I guess we had to decide if we want to consider one of those options that she gave us.
Yeah. I would like to see that. I like to see him. She's, based on what I'm remembering, sounding like option number one, but I would just like to read it. Then maybe we can just send in a vote by way of email saying which one we choose.
My understanding of option number one.
Come together real quick. I don't know.
My understanding of option number one was that we Valid is fully employed and fully visible at the office for the first year, which is next year. Following that time, we'll have transition of leadership and access to her, full access to her, not on demand, but just by phone call. She don't go into the office for the next 2 years. And she's on payroll. And we pay out instead of a package, one total package by itself. We pay $100,000 a year for 3 years with access to it. That's my understanding of the package.
Can I bring up one thing before we move on with this package? I started to have hesitation in the October meeting over Valerie's compensation altogether. And I know that this is dragging up something old, but I was not aware of the situation and Valerie's income from basic. When the 990 forms were brought out, the board has authorized a salary for Valerie, and we do that every year. And when we missed, we made them retroactive, and we gave bonuses, and it was all based on the amount of money that we thought we were paying her. And
I can help you with that, Chris. I know the history of that.
Yeah. So I mean, it's. I don't see how you can have a part-time job for someone else, or to be doing one position at basic, and then also have basic paying you an additional job. That just it doesn't seem proper to me. It kind of seems like it could be looked at as kickbacks or all sorts of different things, and it's just not a normal thing, and it wasn't transparent, and it wasn't brought up to me, and I know that it was never brought up when we were talking about salaries or bonuses, and so it was a shock when I saw that, you know, the amounts on the 990s and the 150, 160, 1,000 a year is what her compensation from basic is, when I thought it was her salary and her bonuses.
Well, that happened on.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
May I ask a question? Who all signs checks? And these checks had to be signed. You know, I'm on another nonprofit board, and I'm the chairperson, and there's three or four people signed checks. I tell them all, every check you sign, you need to look at what you sign and make sure you understand it. So my question, who signs checks? So if checks were made out, then the board had to authorize it, and then the people who signed the check were in agreement with it, out of obligation to sign checks. Who will sign
a right
check?
And you also, but you know what? You also assume that the accountant is making sure that those numbers are correct, and that it's the amount that the board authorizes. It's about the board authorizes. It's not going to be a different amount. Okay, and then we have our books audited every single year. So then when they do the audits, you expect that to be correct as well. So when you see the checks and you sign them, there's several stopgaps to ensure that things are all being handled properly, and you have to assume that. I did not look at every single check and get out my calculator and say, okay, if this is what they're making for 2 weeks, multiply by 26 or whatever. No, I did not do that. But I assumed that the accountant was giving her the amount that the board had approved and authorized, because
the board did approve. I'm trying to answer y'all's question. Yeah, let me.
Right. It was approved earlier in 2014 when I wasn't a part of basic.
You were not part of basic at the time. So the board before you approved it, and they discussed it thoroughly, and it was approved.
So, but I mean, and for transparency, I think that should be brought up every time salary is discussed, because the number that we were being told is her salary was not the amount of her compensation.
Because PanCare paid that money through their donation, through their part, their portion of the grant. It's not basic money that pays the extra money. It's PanCare paying it. They just pay it through.
Well, no, I mean, any money, no, because if it was PanCare's money, then it would come from PanCare as a paycheck. And it comes from Basics General Ledger. So it's Basics money. Once PanCare gives it to Basic, it's Basics money.
So you can't,
there's no separation.
You'd rather they not pay $300,000 a year to avoid paying Valerie?
Let me ask you this other question. This pertains to all of the funding that Basic receives. If I understand it correctly, I'm no kid on the block, but all of those grants we get have stipulations as what they're supposed to be used for. And in principle, Basic is a pass through on all of them. But if it says X number of dollars for these services and X number of dollars can be used for compensation or to be used for compensation, then what we've been doing is right.
Okay. But then if you look at our definition of conflict of interest, according to our bylaws, which on Charity Navigator, a conflict of interest is protects the organization and by extension, those it serves when it is considering entering into a transaction that may benefit the private interests of an officer, director, and or the employee of the organization. So entering into that agreement with PanCare with the intent that it was going to benefit the CEO, it's a conflict of interest right there.
So you're saying that the board that made the decision before you was out of line because they saw where they can make $200,000 to $300,000, sometimes $400,000 a year from a grant.
No, I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about the principle behind it is the conflict of interest.
Can I finish?
Sure.
So it was either pay somebody, and Bell helped me, the person who had to pay somebody to work the grant in order to make enough money for unearmarked funds, which we didn't have at the time, and we still don't have, except for the grant. So you were denied basically the opportunity to make that much money because they pay Val? Is that what you're saying?
I could see a conflict concern there.
It's a huge conflict of interest.
May I say something, please?
And it could have been avoided. It could have been avoided by having another position, another person who isn't a key CEO. Or someone in charge of making that decision by having them be the person that has that position. And then it wouldn't have been a conflict of interest, and then it would all at least appear above board. By the person who makes the decision also being the person who benefits from it, then it looks funny. And
I have to agree
the first year they made a little bit over 100, so it covered the amount of money that was being paid to Valerie and to Jim. So, you know, the first year, it wasn't that great of a deal. And the Project Hope isn't really a grant either. It's just more of a memorandum of intent. And it's very, very vague.
Project Hope is only where you have money in the money market account.
Yeah.
We have no money in that account. It's not Project Hope.
What you're saying is inflammatory, but isn't this true for all our employees? If they're working a particular grant and that grant pays their salary, is that a conflict of interest? But you know, it's starting to sound like
she manipulated
the situation. Without knowledge.
Just from a different perspective, I guess the way I listening to that, it's almost like earmarked first, a wage. Now, I mean, if you track yourself and just look at it on the paper, it's not the cleanest.
Well, I understand Chris was not with the Basic at that time, but I'm not sure, Rick, if you was with Basic at that time. Was you with Basic during that time?
I tell you, I feel like I remember the conversation.
Okay.
I thought Chris was part of the board, and I don't know why $50,000 rings out a bell as compensation that she would be working outside of Basic for. I didn't realize that the funds were passing through Basic, which I think that's the part that makes it look fishy.
We could lose our nonprofit status.
Yeah, from the outside looking in, it looks like that would be additional monies or paycheck that the board's not aware of. If it was coming straight from PanCare and not going through Basic, I guess the appearance would be much, much different.
Can I say something, please? Because this is dangerous territory with words that's being used. And this, I really wish this had come up while Joyce was still on the call. And
actually, it might not be a bad idea to have her on the call.
There is documentation that specifically says from the board president at that time, I think. I'm going to, it's, Is it okay with the board if I see if we can get her back on?
I would. I think Ronnie was right that she should be accessible.
Okay.
You're right. These are touchy words.
And it clearly says, because she quoted it to me, when I got an increase. Hey, Joyce.
Hey there.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I got you on the phone. I don't know if you can rejoin the meeting. But that Project Hope issue has come back up, and there's some inflammatory words that are being used. And there was conversation on losing tax exempt status. Can you join us again? I've asked the board. Or can you just listen in from your phone?
Yeah, I've got.
I'm sorry.
I've got some people coming over here, but I can do it for a couple of minutes if that will be helpful.
All right. Can you guys hear Joyce?
Yes.
Back on the Zoom call.
Oh, okay then. She's going to join Zoom. I'm sorry. Thank you. She's going to rejoin the Zoom call.
Good. And I don't know where you came up with inflammatory words. I'm just saying how it can look from the outside. I have not.
Kickback is an inflammatory word.
Yeah. No, it depends on how it's used. I just said it could appear that way. Okay. Someone on the outside looking in.
She's joining the call again now. Thank you, Joyce. Okay, she's joined.
Hello, I'm back. What can I help you with?
There seems to be some question as to Val getting paid by the grant from PanCare and a salary through basis payroll.
Okay, what's the question?
Is it legal?
Is it legal? It looks fishy, and whether or not we can lose our nonprofit status.
Yeah, I think there are more details that she's not getting the details of the context of. Right. I'm
waiting on you to say something because you don't want to have the concerns about it. So when she asks what the concerns is, why don't you say something to her since you
Who
have
are you talking
concern?
To me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
So first say of all, something I didn't bring. Me. First of all, I didn't bring it up. I'm just giving you my perception. And second of all, don't get so aggressive.
She's listening.
You want to man up, you man up somewhere else or kiss my ass. Don't get aggressive on this call with me. I didn't get aggressive with you.
What?
You understand me?
Go ahead and talk to Joyce. She joined us so you can voice your concerns to her. Please do that.
No, I voiced the concern that there should be somebody here that's not on the board as a neutral party. That was my concern for both Valerie's and the board's. Concern. So don't jump on me. Keep that personal stuff to yourself. If you can't keep it objective, then don't join the board.
Rick, she's waiting on the concern. Please hey, Joyce, address your concern.
Joyce, all right, Joyce let me I'll let Chris. All right, my what looked odd on paper to me as I'm listening to this discussion. If PanCare's giving funding to BASIC. And if I recall from a board meeting many years ago, was that the board approved Valerie to work extra hours outside of BASIC. And I want to say it was like $50,000 a year. Could be off. But I do recall some conversation to that effect. Now, I think the assumption was that PanCare was paying Valerie directly. There seems to be something to where the funds are actually flowing through BASIC and the money is being paid out through BASIC. That's the part that seems kind of odd. I guess when we look at total compensation, bonuses, things like that, it seems like that additional monetary compensation would be included in those numbers. Now, beyond that.
Okay. Chris,
make sure, did I regurgitate that correctly?
Yes. And it goes back to the transparency because I wasn't aware of that money being paid by BASIC to Valerie. And then again, you know, why wasn't it included in as her compensation amount then whenever we talk about her compensation. And then also in our auditing books, there's a page that the auditors put in that's titled Staying Tax Exempt, Avoiding Pass-Through Payments to Individuals, which kind of reads very similar to the situation. So it just brought up concerns for me because with the pass-through payments that is discussed in our book with the audits, the penalty would be to lose your nonprofit.
So, Chris, I'm going to have to ask for clarity because I don't understand what you just said. Is there a note in your audit report that refers to the Project Hope payments that are being made to Valerie and to Sharon?
No, it's, well, it was in a packet of information. Let me see. It was just included in the audit report. I think it was
in reference to what though?
I don't know if it was in reference to anything in particular, but it was put in with the, let me see, hold on 1 second.
Well, while Chris looks for that, I will.
Yeah, it was like 3 or 4 pages back into the financial audit.
Okay, well, I would have to review what the auditor said regarding that to be able to comment on it. But I will tell you, to your comment, Chris, that you were unaware. Lisa also was unaware, clearly. And so Lisa and I, in October, spent about 2 hours together at BASIC looking through historical documents, and what we're talking about now was clearly articulated to the board at the time. There was a board vote, and it was voted on. There's also reference to it in Valerie's personnel file. The amount of money that has been coming in from Project Hope has greatly exceeded the amount of money that's been paid to Valerie and to Sharon. Why it was paid the way that it was, I don't know the answer to that. In most worlds, that would have just been added to the base pay of each of those two individuals. They would not have gotten separate checks. And there would have been the same accounting for that money coming in as there would be any other grant. I don't know why it was done the way that it was. I don't know if that was because the board wanted it done that way or if it was because PanCare wanted it done that way. But I will tell you that often when there is an extra amount of money that is paid to anyone within an organization that has the potential to go away, boards don't want to add it to someone's base pay because they don't want to have to take it away later if the money goes away. So while I wasn't around in 2013 to know why it was done that way, my guess is it was probably something like that the board at the time didn't want to say, well, let's just put it in her pay, because if it wasn't going to sustain, it's real hard to claw back money once it's in somebody's pay. But if it's paid as a stipend or a separate amount of money, then it's easier for it to go away if the funding goes away.
I think there's something, and I think Debbie, I want to say that she was probably on there as well. I don't think there's any question about working with PanCare. The only thing that I had no awareness of, and I don't think the board had awareness of or was questioned about it, was the money transitioning through BASIC, which seems like that's shifting some financial liabilities to BASIC. I think the assumption of the board was that it's like going and working at McDonald's. You're getting your check from McDonald's, like the check would come out of PanCare. Maybe, I don't know if the minutes are accessible from that time frame, but as far as I can recollect. It was just a matter of, hey, board, Val's interested in working kind of moonlighting of sorts. It could be a conflict of interest. Are you okay with it? And the board said, yeah. But the details of the compensation and how that was made, I got to say, I thought it was external, but coming through basic and then basic cutting a check, I don't know. On paper, it just seems odd.
I was on the board at the time.
Up until a short while ago, and maybe even still, I don't know, because I happened to be there on a few occasions when the board chair would come in and sign the payroll checks. And this was one of the checks that was being signed by whoever was the chairman of the board from 2014 until you went to direct deposit. So clearly the board had knowledge because the board chair was signing checks. And there's evidence in Valerie's personnel file that when there was an increase to her pay and the then board chair communicated to the finance person to increase her pay, the notation was made that this is an increase to her basic pay, which by implication to an uninformed person, and I was the uninformed person looking through her file, the implication in that statement is at least that person had knowledge that there was another type of pay. Otherwise, there would be no reason to make a distinction and call it basic pay.
I may have been that person signing during that time. I don't recall.
Can I talk? Can I help you out? I was on the board at the time, and there was much discussion about that. The fact was that we had no way of staying afloat because we have no unmarked funds coming in. Valerie made an agreement with PanCare that it would help us with the grant and have some unmarked funds. So we decided to not combine the paycheck because she could not contribute to her 401k out of the funds that she can't grab from PanCare. That's one reason I separated them. And another was the fact that if it goes away, it would affect the salary.
I don't think it's two checks. I think it's just total compensation written by. I know about the two checks. I do recall signing two checks at a time. I think it's the question of, I mean, if somebody's telling me that they're going to moonlight, they're getting a check from the other organization, not through basic.
We had the discussion because we had a 2 or 3 month discussion about the very same thing, just like we're doing right now.
Yeah. Okay.
We debated it thoroughly.
So, Chris, back to your comment, I would, in order to be able to make an informed recommendation regarding pass through money or whatever loss of tax exempt status, I would need to see what the auditors had to say about that and what they were specifically referring to. If the board received commentary from the auditors about this putting the organization's tax-free status at risk, that should have been addressed in 2014, quite frankly, because there's been nothing that has changed in that time period. So if it was an issue in 2014, it should have been an issue in 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and this board should have addressed it.
There's not been an issue.
If I may add, what Chris is referencing to is any past, all of our state and federal grants are passed through, just for a matter of record. Because the state is the recipient of funds, then they pass it down to other local organizations. The auditors make statements when it comes to any pass-through, and that includes Ron White Part B, that includes HOPWA, now CDC, and also SAMHSA. So it's a general auditing type of statement that they have to include in all audits. And they actually reference those grants and this, is it CFA or whatever number? Most of them start with 93 point whatever. that's in all
audit. CFR.
Right.
Code of Federal Regulations.
Right.
Yeah.
CFR. That they have to put those statements in there because all of those are pass-throughs.
Well, I like to think that the board that was established at that time had enough information available to them that they made a good, sound decision. I'm not going to question the board then. We're going back past tense to see what happened, why it happened. I wasn't there, just like a lot of folks wasn't there, but I trust that the best decision for BASIC was made. And so that's where we are at right now. I think before we throw out information, we probably need to do a lot of research, ask a lot of questions, and we can probably get to the answer that we are looking for. But I think we have concerns about some stuff that we haven't researched yet. And I think that is very key, that research, knowledge, and information is the key to where we're going, but we have to ask the right question. I don't think anything's been hidden from what I'm picking up. And like I say, I wasn't there then, but I don't think anything was hidden, but I don't think folks probably knew the right questions to ask. And so since the question wasn't asked, it looks like things was hidden. We didn't know this, we didn't know that, but it was right there if the question was asked.
Yeah, like I said, Lisa and I spent considerable time on that about a month ago, going through some historical documents. And I'm sure if she hasn't shared that with the full board, she has it available to share. And maybe that would put this issue to rest.
I can say one thing, one final thing. In 2014, when we made a decision, we barely had money in the bank that was to our pot in the black, except for money we had borrowed from the bank. Now we have $150,500,000 in the bank, mostly due to that relationship with Pancake.
Anybody have questions of me at this point? Well, I'll sign off again. Valerie, you know how to find me. If other questions come up, just give me a call.
I will. You guys, please, if you have any other questions or issues while Joyce is here, please ask them because we're backpedaling and I want you to understand and have your questions answered. So once she's gone, we're not going back to the same conversation. Please.
Okay. Anybody else have questions?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Joyce. I appreciate you.
Okay. Again. Thank you. I'll leave it with you. Y'all have a good evening.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
So what the immediate thing is that's before the board right now is what method we're going to use. I'm not going to go back through board minutes and meetings, and I don't see any point in doing that. So there needs to be a motion about what method to use to disseminate this. And I have to go back now because I got pages and pages.
Lisa, may I say something, please?
Absolutely. Please.
That is where we at, and you're 100% right. But I'm not involved in this, but if it was me, the decision would be made based on whether I get $50,000, $100,000, or $200,000. So when you say method, you can pick a method, but we haven't picked a number. And I think the number is crucial based to the method because Valerie may decide if it's only $50,000, I may want it all up front. Or if it's only $75,000, I want it this way. But we have to have a number to have the method. And that's just me speaking out, and I may be speaking out of turn, but you have to have a number to get to the method.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I agree, because if you take option one, which she was explaining, then you have to know the terms of this payout. So are there hooks in it to say 100,000 over the next 3 years? At a certain point, there's the actual exit, which seems to be at the end of next year. I'm not sure that you can actually say a number without having the terms together.
Well, I think what I'm saying, and you make a good point, but if you offer a certain dollar amount and I decide not to stick around for 2 or 3 years, then I just exit the door. You don't have my expertise around. So it probably matters in the sense whether I'm sticking around or not sticking around.
True. Sounds like a hostage situation, but...
The hell are we putting her in a hostage situation?
No, I mean, the way that it's worded there.
I
don't care one way or the other.
I mean, when we're looking at exit and leaving the organization, whether it's me, you, Ronnie, Chris, Rick, Lisa, we have to make decisions that's best for us and our household. We may say it may be a hostage situation, but it's not our decision. It's really the CEO of Basics' decision, how they decide to choose to stay or leave.
If I may, please.
Mm-hmm.
That's what has been discussed. She gave the terms. She will provide a draft to the board as soon as the board votes on the option.
With the number.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. I just want to make, based on the way we've been going back and forth the last few weeks, and what I'm about to say, I'm not pointing me. Just pointing directly at when someone says, I didn't understand. If we get those three options on paper where you can read them for yourself, and then if you want to vote tonight, I'm for number one. But I just don't want to say I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I concur with Ronnie. And my response would be the same, number one. But I think reading the documentation over any verbal interpretations is probably better out.
So am I hearing... Now you guys want the three drafts done?
No. She laid out three options.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I want to see so people won't be saying, I didn't understand. But I'm ready to take a vote tonight. I really am.
Yeah, I think what Ronnie's saying is, if we were able to have the dictation of what she said, mm-hmm. instead of trying to remember it as, I guess, 50-year-old individuals,
and we can have this thing closed before the end of the week, end of this week. You get it, read it, and send your vote in. Everybody. Well, I would like to put it to bed tonight. I seem like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but this stuff I didn't understand. Sometimes we have to accept the fact we did something, that's the way it is. You don't have to like it, but you got to accept that's what you did. That's what the body did. We did okay, $300,000. Okay.
No.
So, yes, you don't have to like it, but we did it.
So,
I'll tell you what, Lisa, let me offer a motion.
Okay, good.
That we act on option number one.
Second.
We got a second.
Yeah, Rick seconded.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, I'm writing. So that's the only reason. So what is the motion exactly?
The motion is that we approve Joyce's option number one that she presented tonight.
So are we approving the option, or are we approving the her to do a draft of option number one?
No, she's already, what I was asking for originally was what she gave to us verbally she put on paper. But from what we tell her, which option we choose, she drafts up the agreement from that. So what I'm motioning now is for us to approve option number one and for George to draft up the agreement.
Okay.
For option number one.
That's what I understood.
Okay.
And I second that, right?
Okay.
So just for discussion, so nobody have any questions later. We're voting to approve option number one or discuss option number one.
Approve it.
Okay.
And I think what follows after that is then the details, right?
Right.
But we don't have anything to approve.
I think Joyce was asking, do we want one, two, or three, right? And she said three would really just be like one. So it really came down to one and two. It wasn't that her question.
Right.
After the onset.
Okay. So I just want to know what I'm going to Joyce with exactly. We're approving option number one, and she's going to write up a draft. Correct?
Does everybody know what option number one was?
Option number one was the W-2 option, that continued employment agreement for whatever our terms were over a period of time.
Right, that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you understood, everybody else?
Yeah,
that's what I understood as well. And as I was listening, I was like, okay, that sounds like a very reasonable, yeah.
So that's the W-2 option.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the motion that Ronnie made was to approve option number one. Joyce will draft the agreement, and then we will vote via email.
No, we're going to vote tonight.
No. I mean, after we get the draft.
Yeah, I see. Well, we didn't already decide it.
Well, the draft will have to be approved because we haven't seen it.
According to when you get to phases like this, and this is based on my history of local, regional, and national boards, it's a review to make sure the language is what the board understands and expect, and myself to understand, expect, and agree to. That's where we agree to the language. Is it acceptable to all of us? To the board and to me.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
That's what I understand. I thought that's what we were. That's what we're doing.
Correct.
Okay.
And the board can approve anything, and then Valerie can say no. You all go pound sand.
Very good point.
Okay. Okay, Ronnie, I'm sorry, Ronnie, but please restate your motion just so that I understand it completely.
Okay. I'll offer a motion that the board approve the execution of option number one presented by Joyce, and then follow and ask her to draft up the agreement and for the agreement to be reviewed by the board for another approval.
Okay.
For the language part.
So instead of option number one, I'm going to say the W-2 option.
I would say option number one, because she conveyed it as three options, with the third being similar, but I think she worded it as it doesn't look appropriate or something like that. Anyway, I would say option number one.
Yeah, that makes it very simple and clear, straightforward.
And we could always go back through the recording as she designated as option number one.
Okay. All right. And you seconded it again, Rick?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
Lisa, can we do a roll call, please?
Yeah, I think we should do a roll call. I think that's the best way. Reverend Hooks?
Aye.
Ronnie? Oh, yeah.
Aye.
Debbie McCambry?
She's not on tonight.
Okay. Chris?
Nay.
Who am I missing? This is an online. Rick.
Rick seconded, so do he have to vote since he made the second?
Yeah, I made the motion, and I voted.
Yeah, yeah. I've always been confused by that. It's aye, but I had the same question. If you make a motion or second, do you have to aye? Okay.
When they're doing a roll call.
Oh, we're doing a roll call, yeah.
Okay.
If I second it for purpose of discussion.
Correct. Okay. So the motion here. Yeah, I know you abstained. Myron abstained for the minutes and the record. Okay. So the motion carried, and I will, before I leave my office, I will send this information to Joyce.
Okay.
I have another. So she said 6 months and they hire for these roles. Has that been kicked into motion? Do we need to make a motion for her to start that search?
It would be wise, in my opinion.
No.
I didn't know if it was assumed that she's going to start the search, or do we need to motion for that?
She has to be directed by the board.
Okay, then I would motion that we direct Joyce to start the search for a replacement CEO as soon as possible.
Second the motion.
Okay. And Ronnie Adams. Rick made the motion to start the search for the CEO ASAP, to ask Joyce to start the motion, start the search for the CEO ASAP. And Ronnie seconded.
How's the discussion?
And now it's discussion.
I guess my discussion would be, do we limit our search through her organization, or do we expand outside of that? But maybe that's not relevant to this vote.
I got some discussion. I think we should consider the title of the new person coming in. Val was executive director for a long time and promoted to given the title of CEO, director, president. I think we should be looking at an executive director who, if they prove to be worth the job, promote them to president later.
For what it's worth, I agree with you, Myron.
Concur.
I don't think that that really needs a board motion. Is there any more discussion about that?
Just, I'd like to add in something that hasn't been discussed. I know previously when I was asked about internal staff, was there anyone interested and qualified? Once I made my official announcement to the board, I did talk to my leadership. And a few weeks later, I did have someone come to me expressing interest in the position. They've been with us for 15 years, is already a director. So. There hasn't been any discussion on the search. And I guess that's between the board and the Joyce. on, is it overall internal first and then external, or a combination of both at the same time? That's just something for you guys to consider when you're talking to Joyce.
I would go with combination of both so that we don't miss an opportunity.
I agree.
Okay. I just wanted to put that out there.
I love the internal, you know, the dedication, the loyalty.
And knowledge.
Do we know who the person is?
I do. To keep it above board, fair, and make sure we're going through the process correctly, because I mean, I've done it with other boards and some of you may have, but in this case, I'd confer with Joyce on the best process. And because she still has to come up with, you know, the job, just work with me on the job description and all of that. Just so you know, when we do hire people, we usually look internally, and she is part of my per se search team. Advertise internally first for 3 to 5 days, and then external. But that's for positions under me. And that's just an FYI. That's all.
That's the way I've always seen it done too. Okay. So the motion was to ask Joyce to start the search for the CEO as soon as possible.
I think, can we word the motion to search for the executive director replacement?
Yes, we can. Well, yes, it's your motion, so you can amend your motion.
Oh, so what do I do? Just remotion?
Remotion, yes.
Okay, then I motion for Joyce to start the search for a replacement executive director as soon as possible.
Okay.
Second the motion.
And Ronnie seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right.
Offer motion to adjourn.
I'm sorry? Yeah. Oh, you offered a motion to adjourn? Yeah. I agree, but I can't second. Somebody else second that.
You don't need one. Just tell us good night.
Right. Right.
Second.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.